The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, 32277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Hello. We've all had a little biscuit break, and we're all feeling a bit more refreshed.
I didn't get a biscuit.
Did you? Oh, well, they're here, and they're nice.
I didn't get a biscuit.
They're just here.
I've had a tweet from Deffy.
Oh, yeah, what are they saying?
Well, they say, thank you so much for mentioning us. You pronounced it right in the end. But I don't remember what
defy.
What I was,
well, I said defy, and I said defy, and you said Deffy.
So it's defy, is it?
It sounds defy, defarum, deference.
Defy.
Latin.
And they say, great show today, thank you guys, and we'll definitely spread the word of Emma and Tegan's important story.
Thank you.
So that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And we love the sound of the app. We're going to check that out.
Yeah, well, we like anything to do with independent businesses.
Well, I've got three independent coffee shops, so I'm going to be on there straight away.
Exactly.
Right.
They've got the site of a former bank could become a Domino's takeaway in a town dubbed Kent's most. It seems like the chains are the only ones that can afford to open now.
But this is bonkers. It's in Tenterton where I live.
Yeah.
This is bonkers. Prezzo, which was next door, just went bust and shut down.
Mm.
So they're going to open the Domino's instead. Now, I know it's slightly different, but...
Not much. Bosses at the pizza giant want to convert the former Lloyd's branch, because all the banks are closed. You cannot get any cash out now. They've all closed. So bosses at the pizza giant want to convert the former Lloyd's branch in Tenterton High Street, which has been sitting empty for years. The building, which lies between Fat Face and Master Cutters, so I'm assuming Master Cutters is a hairdresser,
yeah,
which will be probably independent, but Fat Face is a chain, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Has been vacant since 2017. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? After becoming one of four Kent casualties in a wave of cuts. It comes as a survey named Tenterton, the county's most stylish place to live.
Of course it is.
Thanks to its historic building.
Thanks to its residents.
Step one. Historic buildings and popularity with film crews.
Yeah,
I say,
are
you an
they
extra?
Follow me around all the time.
Are you an extra?
Yeah, no, they follow me around, filming me.
Well, I'm going on Friday, aren't I, to your opening.
Yeah, you are. Bring your passport.
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring my wagon. I might go to Appledore and places.
What for?
Camping or something.
Oh, I see.
I've got someone to look after Darcy Greyhound, so if I get a day off.
She tries to brag me into bringing her brilliant dog.
Yeah, well, she's very well behaved.
I'd say where you could take your dog.
Where?
Bindon Tractor Fest.
Oh, yeah, she'd love that.
A traditional day out for the whole family. Have you got your tickets yet? Join us over the weekend of the 19th and 20th of August in the fields of Holden Farm, Sissinghurst Road, Bindon. It's the Bindon Tractor Fest. I can't even say it.
No.
The Bindon Tractor Fest.
You've got the horse's teeth in.
I have. If you want to find out more or to book your tickets, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, all the details are there.
Mentoring for business in West Kent.
Mm.
Did you know that 93% of SMEs recognise the impact mentoring can have? Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know how I knew that?
Because you wrote it?
No, because I read the email before I gave it to you. That's how I knew.
So good. Or that 89% of small business owners would like a mentor, but they don't have one. Give your business an opportunity to grow. Free mentoring is being offered to businesses in Sevenoaks, Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge and Marling District. Could be Marling, I don't know.
No, I was waiting for that.
I've
trained her to... She keeps calling it West Marling, and I've trained her to call it West Marling.
There's no W in it for a mall.
But every time she says it, to be fair, she says it correctly, but she looks at me every time just to check.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Because you'd say Pall Mall, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, but you tried to claim that Westmorland was near Igatum.
Until
I pointed out its item.
Well, I'd call it Igatum.
Igatum,
yeah.
They are very strange names, aren't they, Lucy? I mean, they're Elizabethan, aren't they?
I think
the worst pronounced name, the village name, in the world is Trosley.
Trotters Cliff.
Which is spelt Trotters Cliff.
Yeah.
And pronounced Trosley.
It's bizarre. Absolutely bonkers. Anyway, you can express an interest in 4 or 8 hours of coaching. So you'd go... Who do you go to? Who do you go to for that?
You go to kempersradio.co.uk and you'll find the links to it on there.
How?
You should know this one, yeah.
No, well, I've got a hangover. I need...
You keep telling me this.
I need a coffee.
It's Tuesday afternoon.
I know. I didn't drink that much yesterday. I don't know. It was organic wine. It should be fine. Anyway, there's a meeting of breakfast at Base Point with the Marsh. Perhaps it's sunstroke I've got. Probably sunstroke.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, Base Point with the Marsh Network, and it's at 7:45, Tuesday the 18th of July. Didn't I read that one earlier on another one? I don't know.
No, it's another one.
This is longer, anyway. It's a full English. I mean, that's always worth going, isn't it? Vegetarian or vegan options. Don't bother about them. Basement is in a great location next to the M20 junction, which is on the way to Folkestone. It's got good connections to Dover, Ashford, Maidstone, Romney Marsh and beyond. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk to find out all about these meetings. There are others as well. And the leader of all that is Terry Botfield. He's a business mentor. And you can find him on email, terry@botfield.net. That's botfield.net.
Or you can follow him on Twitter, where he has a terrific Twitter handle.
Yeah, which is?
TD Botty.
Yeah. Everybody wants that, don't they?
Yeah. Right, Kent Business School, Business Clinic. Discover if Kent Business School, that's at the University of Kent, high calibre students and expert academics can offer you solutions. There are 4 areas of expertise that they can work in. Accounting and finance, analytics, operations and systems, leadership and management, and marketing, entrepreneurship and international business. If you'd like to find out more, you need to drop them an email, kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk.
And there's a Leeds Castle concert. It's an unparalleled musical spectacular.
That was last weekend.
Oh, which is going to captivate audiences. Shall I not read it?
Well, I don't know where that came from.
No.
There's one there about the how it went.
I don't know. I can't be bothered to read that. Anyway, here's another one. Joining in... I'm in one of those moods today, really.
Oh, tell me about it.
Joining... If I just had a coffee, I'd be fine.
Yeah, we'll hang over.
I did drive in with a coffee, actually, but it wasn't enough.
Do you know what? It works better if you drive in with a car.
With a coffee. Also, plus, it is quite hot at the moment, isn't it? It's very, you know,
what, the coffee?
The new husband.
The new husband's hot at the moment. Hold on. I'm trying to stay on track.
We've got all the windows
open. What's hot at the moment?
Is it
the coffee hot, the new husband's hot, or the weather?
Well, a little bit of both. The coffee was nice.
Right.
With coconut milk, you wouldn't have liked it.
No.
And then a sprinkle of cacao on top, you really wouldn't have liked it.
I really wouldn't like it.
But it is quite hot weather, and at night, it was quite humid, so we had the bedroom windows open, but he sleeps. He drapes himself on me. It really annoys me.
Is this the husband or the dog?
The new husband.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But in winter, it's fine when you can't afford to put the heating on. We couldn't afford to put the heating on at all this year. It was just ridiculous because of the energy bit crisis. And so that's fine. I invite him to drape himself on me. But in summer, he's like some limpet and he's like... and I go... So I don't think I'm sleeping very well either because it's hot.
Right.
We've only got one tog on at the moment. One tog.
Oh, do you have a winter and a summer duvet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my wife introduced me to that.
Yeah, winter. So, got one tog on now?
I don't know how many togs, but I know we've got the winter duvet and the summer duvet, and I get very, very excited when the summer duvet comes out.
Yes, so do I, because it's much easier to make the bed, isn't it? Emma, much easier to make the bed. If you've got...
One duvet.
Yeah, you are.
One duvet all round.
One duvet, but then in the summer, you must admit, you would kick it off, wouldn't you? And then what do? You have a little sheet, or you just sleep with nothing on?
No duvet.
You see, I can't sleep with nothing on.
As well.
Do you?
Menopause.
Yeah, I can talk to you about that. I'm sorted with the menopause. But what I'd say was, I can't sleep with nothing on because I think a monster's going to get me. You know, I can't.
Those will protect you.
Yeah, I can't even sleep with my feet out at the bottom of the duvet because I think a monster's going to get me.
Oliver, it's a well known fact that.
There are lots of monsters.
That monsters are defeated easily with a one tog duvet. This is a well known fact.
Yeah. Make sure your limbs aren't hanging out of the blanket. You're absolutely
Exactly,
fine.
Yeah. As long as you're fully covered, you're completely.
But I saw a glimmer of recognition in that, Lucy.
But oh, yeah, I do the same.
Because the monster will get you.
Yeah, but even in the summer, I have my winter duvet on, wrap myself in it, and I have my fan on.
Okay.
I like being cosy, but I hate being hot.
Yeah, I like a bit of weight on me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but the one tog is all right. The one tog's all right. But what I find sometimes, if it's too hot for the one tog, then just a sheet. A sheet will do. But I can't sleep with my feet out because a monster will come and get me for sure.
The windows are open.
Windows are open.
There's a chance of monster coming in.
Yeah.
So I would go closed in case anyone comes in.
Oh, okay. You keep your windows closed?
Yeah.
But doesn't that...
Pollen.
In case a monster comes in?
Yeah, and they're on the main road as well.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
If I'm a monster. And if it might come in upstairs.
Yeah, because it could be a thin monster, like a snake, that would then expand as it got in the bedroom. So it's come in very thin and then expand.
That's a blanket, he'll protect you, he'll be fine.
A psychologist would have a field day with this conversation, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, you know who used to be the king of togs was Terry Wogan, wasn't he? Remember?
Yeah.
They had the whole tog club.
Terry's old geezers, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What about you? What do you sleep with?
Amanda.
I know, but do you have a duvet or...?
No, I have a sheet at the moment. I do have a summer duvet, but even that was too hot, so I just sleep with a single sheet at the moment.
But you're in the country, so you can open your windows wide.
I open our bathroom window and the bedroom window, and I get a through blast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do that. And then, but the thing is, we're on a road as well. Although it's seafront, we do get cars, and you could get a monster coming in. So mine are on a lock like that.
But I have mist drifting through at the moment.
What is the mist from?
Well, because outside my bathroom window, which is open, is my swimming pool.
Oh,
and because the temperature drops during the night, the pool's warm. It creates a mist, and that drifts through my bedroom.
Yeah. So well problems, eh? Jeez.
So you see Amanda in the morning through a lovely mist.
But the problem is, you have this mist, and there could be Loch Ness monsters and all kinds in there in the mist because you just don't know. You can't see.
There could be anything in that mist.
Yeah.
And also, it's very good for your complexion, a mist.
What? Monsters?
A mist. Monsters are not so good for your complexion.
Right.
Anyway, I said to my new husband, who's quite a lot younger than me, I called it a continental quilt. Mm. And he found that absolutely bizarre. Mm. But they used to be called continental quilts.
Originally, that's what they called them.
Now they're just quilts.
Duvets they are now.
Oh, duvets, yes. Yeah. But I said to him, I'm going to change the continental quilt. He just thought I was something out of Downton Abbey or something. Yeah. I probably am.
It was a newfangled thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It came from the continent. That's why it was called a continental
quilt. Like yogurt.
Well, yeah.
Remember ski yogurt?
I've never been to bed with a yogurt, no.
Well, but, you know, Paul is a lot older than I am. But I was born, you know, in the 50s, very late 50s. And you know, yogurts didn't exist. I remember when the first Vesta beef curry, that was the first ready meal, Vesta beef curry. Do they even exist now?
You can still get them, retro.
Yeah.
Do you remember you used to get those little the little curly things that you had to cook with them
And
as well?
I remember my mother, of a Sunday...
I remember my mother, so that's the right thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But my mother, of a Sunday, we'd have a tin of salmon, and then she'd do what she thought was creative. There would be a lettuce leaf and some salad cream and a tomato. Right. And it was salmon and, you know, and some bread, obviously. And then I, when I was about 10 or 11, I had my some friends that were quite she. And they did proper salads and they chopped it all up. So I tried to chop up mine on my plate. My mum got very upset because she thought I had ideas above my station.
Absolutely.
And I said,
haven't looked back since?
No. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to make coleslaw. And she was furious with me. I think I got sent to bed.
Yeah. Well, if you did, you could do like Sarah Marsh Collins has done. And she says, a sheet and a couple of furry hot water bottles.
Oh.
Yeah. And she sent a picture of her dogs in her bed. She says, a couple of furry hot water bottles is plenty to keep me snug in the weather. The furry hotties keep moving around and trying to hog the bed, though. Oh, isn't that too warm, Barney?
Yeah, our dog sleeps in our bed. It's been a... he's 14 years old now, the dog.
Right.
What is
not
he?
Happy with it. Right. But over 14 years, I've come to terms with it.
You got used to it eventually.
It feel right.
What is he?
It's Jack Russell.
He's
14. Yeah, he's a bit blind now, and he can barely jump on the bed, but he does every night.
I didn't allow Greyhound on the bed. I don't. She did try, but I don't allow her.
We've got a 14-year-old dog as well, and she wouldn't dare come in my bedroom.
No.
Not under any circumstances.
Well, Darcy Greyhound sleeps at the by my bed, and her bed is outside, because she's rescue, we're trying to get her to be a bit more independent, because she's got anxiety issues. So she sleeps just outside, but she just comes in all the time. So I say, should I just bring her bed in, you know, we're trying to make her sleep just outside.
Right. Before we run out of time...
Greyhounds.
I'm not talking about greyhounds. Oh, I want to talk to our guests.
Gillette! I would like to.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back after about a 20-year gap.
I'm only 25.
Oliver Musto play fair and Lucy Waters from Primfab. Thank you so much for joining us. It was quite a long time ago you were last on. Were you even running Primfab the last time you were on?
Yes, just. Yeah. I think we'd been training for about a year-ish. Yeah.
Cool. So, Oliver, serial entrepreneur with Primfab. Tell us what Primfab is and what it is you do.
And we want to see samples because you've got two boxes.
Yeah. So, Primfab is a textile print-on-demand company. So... anyone can print fabric with us, whether it be a metre, a picture of a photo, it could be hundreds of metres, thousands of metres, or just a square. So we enable anyone to be able to print their own fabric. Right. The majority of our customers are doing it to support their sort of small businesses, so they'll be printing fabric with us and then making products such as cushions, tea towels, curtains.
So they're on Etsy toys. And that sort of thing?
Yeah, Etsy, not on the high street. Mm. A lot of them sell through their own independent stores or other people's independent stores.
Mm. So are they kind of designing their own designs and then getting you to print them?
Yes.
And is there also a novelty factor here where you get, like, photographs of your dog on your bed sheet and that kind of thing?
Vintage?
Yeah. We don't actually know a massive amount about where the fabric ultimately sort of goes, but, I mean, Lucy sort of deals with the customer.
So do you get drawings through, or...? Do people send you drawings?
Yeah, they'll be digitised though, so they'll just scan them in or taking a picture of them and that sort of thing.
So it could be, you could have like a granny's old frock or something, you know, from the, I know, 60s or 50s, that you could then print for them.
You could do, yeah, you could have a copyright.
It was a designer.
So it's a copyrighted design, we wouldn't necessarily print that. But
Chanel or something.
Yeah, a lot of our customers would make their own designs and they'd have studied textile design at university or something like that.
So just so that I understand, because I'm trying to build a picture of this in my mind, so someone would come to you and they go, right, this is a design I've made and I want it printed onto a fabric. So let's start off with fabric, which is quite a broad term.
Yeah.
So what kind of fabrics do you print to?
So we have around 30 plus fabrics in our range. They go from cottons to polyesters to linens. We've got organic fabrics, recycled fabrics, all of our natural fabrics, all of the cottons and linens, they're all printed with organic ink. And that entices customers quite a lot because they all want that sort of sustainable side to their business.
Right.
And then in terms of the artwork, that's kind of where I come into it. So they would either upload their design directly to the website or come through me, send me the design and I can help set it up on the website. So that could be just an individual image that they want printed on the fabric, or they might have made what's known as a pattern tile, so it'd be a seamless repeat.
Yeah.
They then upload that to the website and we've got loads of different options available to turn it into a pattern repeat. So there's no need to do it all manually, it saves lots of time, and you can print anything up to 10 metres of fabric continuously.
Right, okay. So, I've come up with this wonderful... I'm guessing that most of your customers are people that are making things out of the things that you're making?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, so you provide... You can't finish.
It's got a lisp, this mic, I keep telling you.
So basically, they get, and let's take an example, they design cushion covers, say for instance. So they, we could do a nice design of cushion covers, they'll come to you and they go, could I have 10 metres of this on a repeat pattern every, you know, that I'm going to make cushion covers out of. And they specify what fabric they want it printed on, presumably.
Yeah, so we have a lot of customers that... presumably are quite daunted by the amount of fabrics, don't really know where to start, and that's where our sample packs are really handy.
Right.
So they're 99p, And they contain a pre-printed sample of every fabric that we offer.
Right.
Once they've got them, they can choose a fabric or a couple of fabrics.
So they can feel the width. They can hold it in their hand and see what they're getting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then they can then go on to have a slightly larger sample printed with their own design. So before they sort of have 20 metres of fabric printed or just 2 metres, they can see a small sample just to see how the colours would come out and whether it's sharp enough. The sample side of things is really handy.
Right, okay.
What we do is we batch all these orders up and put it all through one great big long run. So we're using the same sort of print technology as the big fashion houses in Epson and Como. In fact, we partnered with Epson a couple of years ago, and we were the first in the world to put their latest industrial textile machine into production, which was a whole barrel of laughs.
And you're based in Faversham, aren't you?
Yeah, based in Faversham, yeah. And, so we're running this latest, really, really clever technology, and that's being used to support, I think, last count, just over 30,000 customers. So.
Right.
So what are your dyes? Do you have, like, vegetable dyes? And, you know, when you said organic...
So there's two separate types of ink we use. We use the organic pigments, which is basically pigment colour suspended in a fluid, which is put onto the fabrics, and then sublimation, which is used to actually dye the fabrics.
Wow. How did you get this idea?
It comes from the previous company that I had, which is a knitting company.
I remember your knitting company.
Yeah, it's great.
And you sold it, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, because you've got some amazing car, haven't you? I remember.
You bought a Lamborghini.
And then
he busted it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, your knitting company, that, of course. Yeah, that was well before COVID and stuff as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I sold that in 2012. That's so that was, over 10 years ago now. Mm. Yeah, a long time ago.
That's when you were on air with us in Romney Marsh,
That's right, a long time ago.
So from the knitting, you had this other idea.
Yeah, well, the fabric was always of interest because there's a market for fabric. It's used for it's everywhere, from clothing to decor. But to sell it effectively, you'd have to have a huge warehouse full of all these different types of fabric. Mm. Whereas being able to print it on demand or even manufacture it on demand introduces the possibility of having a much smaller warehouse. Some technology which I find interesting, linking it all up to a sort of an e-commerce consumer sort of portal thing.
And what do you do there, Lucy?
So I help the customers set their artwork up on the website, and I do all the marketing side of things. So I will get in touch with small businesses and other craft people that have printed with us, sort of share their stuff on the social media. Run the promotions, and just generally keep the social media running day to day.
Good girl.
Lucy also got us she had us into for this competition for the best digital textile printer in the UK, and we won.
Wow.
We're up against companies that are sort of hundreds of years old and invested squillions and billions into their stuff, and we beat them all. That was in 2021.
Because Tazy, who's one of our listeners, Tracy, who's recuperating at home with a swollen throat, she does textiles, isn't she? Very arty. And then I'm also thinking about Natalie Benaise. Do you know Natalie Benaise? Because she's based in Faversham, and she's
Creative
Arts. So okay. She would be a good hookup for you.
Yeah.
I've got a question coming as well. It says, hi Paul, can you ask your guests if they can print on a bathroom or kitchen roller blind?
Yes, we do fabrics for roller blinds.
Do you?
Yeah, so on our website, if you go on the fabrics page, underneath is listed all the different uses that you could use it for.
Right.
Obviously, it's just recommended. It's purely personal preference. If you go on there, you'll find the fabrics for roller blinds.
I think you just got a customer.
Who was asking?
Mike Thompson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he listening?
No.
Well,
no. He just randomly sent a message hoping that maybe we had a guest on here talking about.
Give him a nudge about my television, won't you?
Yeah, about our television.
Yeah, I make him nice coffee and all that.
Yeah, is it Mike? Is it the person?
Yeah, Mike.
If he can't design fabric, we've literally just launched this AI tool.
Right.
Which we launched 2 weeks ago, it's a text prompt. You put in what you'd like to see for the pattern, and it will generate this pattern. Based on the text prompt, and it will repeat seamlessly, it will print perfectly.
Right.
So what we're hoping is that to date, you'd have to be able to design your own fabric to be able to use our service, but actually now you can go in and say exactly what you want, and
it will design for you.
Design it for you.
It's made it accessible to everyone, which is really lovely.
I was going to ask you, my new husband and I got married about 13 years ago. Yeah, it was 30, and I got these really nice napkins, but they're paper. Mm-hmm. So could you replicate those?
Yeah, technically yes, we could. Yeah, as long as they're not copyrighted, then
no,
yeah, we could do that. Yeah,
because I actually bought a job lot of these napkins. I've got loads and loads and loads. But one, and every anniversary, I get them out, and you know, or special occasions.
But they're knocking on now, so she's running out. I want to kind of change tack a little bit, because I know Oliver, and I know what gets him going as well is the technology. So I'm fascinated by the technology behind this as well. You mentioned Epson and equipment. Is the equipment that you're using generally available? Is it is it an off the shelf type of equipment, or is it something you've developed, or is it something you've kind of partnered with them on?
So it sort of combines a whole bunch of stuff, really. So at the sort of very basic level, you buy a printer, which anyone can do. The cost of a printer is, I don't know, say £500,000.
Okay.
And then you've got to factor in all the other stuff. So it has to be plumbed in, you have to put in ventilation, great big tubes sucking air in and out.
Right.
So the cost of the printer is one thing, and you have to combine that with the sort of environment.
Right.
And that's the sort of the basics for getting this done. But the bit that Harry and I, so this is the business I set up with Harry, my brother.
Yeah.
The really sort of clever bit is linking all these bits together through software, so that at the moment an order comes through on the website, it goes straight to production, it batches them all up and sends it to the printer in a common format.
Right.
That means we're able to batch literally thousands of jobs within seconds and send that to the printer in the right way. That's the kind of clever bit that we've done. So we've a team of eight.
Right.
There are companies that are smaller than us that are operating with teams of 30 or 40 to do the same thing. So it's enabled us to maintain or achieve a decent margin for us to be able to invest in the new technology to sort of push ourselves to the next level. We've got robots hoovering the warehouse.
Do they wash as well? My little robot washes as well.
These don't wash, no, they're just hoovering and they're causing a few problems.
Do they go, error, mine goes, error.
But it's, there's a whole bunch of stuff we would like to do in the future as well that would further automate that, but that has to be the way forward, because we're competing with other countries where the cost of electricity is a lot lower, the cost of labour is a lot lower, the materials are a lot lower.
Which countries are you competing with?
Lots of Eastern European countries.
Of course.
So
Poland, Romania?
Poland, Lithuania, Portugal, in fact, pretty much nearly all of them. Italy is the sort of traditional big fashion printer place. We're around the Como. That's where everything gets printed, using the same machines as us.
And of course, you just have to go and visit and watch how they do it, don't you?
That's where Epson Como are based. We haven't actually been yet.
Oh, really?
I went to make sure we Milan a couple of weeks ago, I think. That was really interesting for the big trade show, where you get to see all these people that are all using these machines in different ways. But it's. Yeah, really interesting, but it is tough. The margins on textile printing are only getting smaller, so it's...
Okay, yeah. Right, so what's the most unusual thing you've been asked to print?
Oh, God. What are we allowed to say? There was a stage when we were printing face masks.
Yeah.
Really? No,
actually, I don't know if we want to say that, actually. Some sorts of body parts.
Well, I can think of one, but I just need to check if I can say it.
Thinking about the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we printed fabric for a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, metres fabric.
So for the actual envelope of the balloon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it actually went up in the air.
Well, we have to be careful, because that poor man just died, didn't he? The 26-year-old that made his own.
That wasn't us.
It was just awful, that. He was a pilot as well. Ryanair, wasn't he? Or one of the...
Oh, yeah, I read about that. Did a quick name check, cross-reference.
26, yeah.
So it's quite a common thing to build your own hot air balloon.
Yeah, people do all sorts with their fabric. The possibilities are endless.
So you printed what's kind of like an advertisement or something on there. Yeah.
This is I think it's for an arts project.
Yeah, with loads of different panels that had been in progress for months and months before. The sampling that they did was they did so much just to make sure that everything was perfect. Mm. It was full of loads of different drawings and almost like a collage of loads of different artwork.
Okay. Mm.
And you could have people's, like Paul said, people's photos and their pets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have lots of customers that either print just one design down the fabric, or if they're printing for lampshades or cushions or things like that, they can actually make a collage before they upload it to the website, and then you can have loads of different designs and different panels on that one piece of fabric.
I think one of the favourite things that we see quite a lot of is people printing recipes. So it might be a recipe that someone's written down in squiggly old writing, and they'll use that to make a tea towel, and they've got some cracking recipes from it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. That's really, really good.
So really nice.
And how do you find employing people in Faversham?
Tough, yeah. Mm. It's a small town.
So what are you looking for, generally?
Chefs.
Everyone needs a chef, yeah.
It's difficult because we don't kind of fit into any particular kind of
category. Like you need a Hoover. Robot isn't doing it.
So I think most of the people that work with us have probably been to UCA. I mean, you went to UCA, was it?
Yeah, UCA in Rochester. We've all got loads of different skills. We've got people in the team that are sort of really good at video animation, textile design, wide range of skills, which comes in really handy.
Well, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, we're a working factory, so it's operating big machines sort of safely and productively.
Right.
So it's but Faversham's a small town, and whenever we get people applying for the jobs, they tend to come from outside the area.
Right.
So I said about half of our workforce is from Faversham, I think. But it's a difficult place to base a business.
Faversham's getting busy though now with all the developments like around the lakes and things.
Yeah, lots of crafts, pop-ups and things like that I've noticed recently.
Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of houses, not much.
No, lots of houses and lots of traffic. And of course Reeds is being sold now, isn't it?
£3 million.
You want to buy it?
Well,
you'd have to find a chef, that's the trouble.
I'd probably convert it to a spa, because it does need a spa in Faversham.
Yeah, it does need a spa.
One of those.
So did Whitstable, but they built warehouses there instead. Bone of my contention.
Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted, rate limit exceeded. I'll piss off the
Sarah Marsh Collins has said, love these designs, because Tracy sent hers, because she, as I alluded to, she said, absolutely love the sound of this business. I should say it with a sore throat to sound more like Tracy. Absolutely love the sound of this business. I wanted to be a fabric designer when I was aged 18. I would love to have a look and potentially use some of my designs to create my own unique pieces in the future. Maybe that's next for me in my creative journey. So, Lucy, do you want to invite Tracy over to your factory? She's a very good artist. But that was a nod, by the way, Tracy, but it doesn't work on radio. These are her amazing designs.
Oh, wow.
Loads of
they look lovely on fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice.
She's so clever.
The good thing is, with the way the website's set up, whatever you upload, you get to preview before it's printed.
Okay.
So you can see exactly how your fabric will look.
I don't know, I was just trying to read it. I was just trying to think, I make a perfect detail. It's almost a shape of a perfect detail.
It is.
But funnily enough, Sarah Marsh Collins has just tweeted. She says, printing a hot air balloon, the most creative thought I had was tablecloth for exhibition stands. It's amazing stuff.
I know, hot air balloon is pretty out there, isn't it?
Yeah, we always love seeing what our customers make as well out of their fabric. So if anyone wants to send any photographs, email or Instagram at primfab. Support@primfab.com is our email address. We always love to see what people do.
With that hot air balloon, I had to speak to the guy and say, look, you know, we haven't tested these fabrics to be used for hot air balloons.
Flame retardant.
Yeah, it was just so scary. And I thought, God, right, we need to be a bit careful. We can't sell the fabric on the basis it should be used for hot air balloons. Yeah. But the guy
put a disclaimer in. We don't guarantee flying with this.
Yeah.
And he sent a video of people flying in this hot air balloon. And
it did look amazing.
Very close to the bone after that poor man. I think it was only about 3-4 weeks ago. I hope it wasn't your man.
No, he's been on since, I think.
He's going to make another order, I think.
You could have kiddies curtains as well, and you know, anything that they wanted.
Yeah, literally anything.
Yeah.
Just thinking about schools as well and how they could use it, you know, like for art, GCSE art and stuff.
Yeah, so if schools don't have access to print facilities, my school, I went to Simon Langton in Canterbury.
We had
a fantastic textiles department. We had a tiny little heat press that we could print on polyesters, but it just gives students and small businesses and creatives the opportunity to print their own fabric.
Yeah.
using the same kit that the big fashion brands are using. It's
yeah.
In fact, I think the stuff we're running is even newer than what they're using, because we're the first in the world. It's incredible stuff to see these machines sort of in action and doing what they do. Really clever stuff.
Right. Wow. I love it. So what's the future hold? Where are we going? What's going to happen next, do you think?
Well, I'm getting close to retirement age.
Oh,
yeah, right, yeah, okay, yeah, of course he is, yeah. He's a good 20 years younger than us.
And then what would you do? Drive your Lamborghini and stuff?
Yeah, I've got plans.
Yeah. Go to Milan and again. I just think, Emma, you said that you also work to give yourself some respite.
Yeah.
Would they be anything to do with fabrics?
No.
I was just thinking if there was a way that we could do some sort of money raiser.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I do a lot of accounts and transport for two different companies.
Oh, okay.
So for a drainage company, do like everything.
So you do their accounts, so you're a boffin.
Customer service, everything I do for that company.
Ask them if they want some curtains printed.
Okay, I'll ask them.
Carpets? Maps?
We can technically print carpets. We did get some
carpet rods. Wow, that would be sick, wouldn't it?
What? Yeah, trouble is shipping it, trying to get it to the customers.
She's only in Dover.
I was looking at your social media accounts the other day, looking at something, and one of the things you had was textured.
We've had a lot of feedback on that. I posted that yesterday. Really clever. They basically take a photograph of something they've made by hand, and when it's printed on the fabric, it looks 3D. Like you almost want to touch it. We've had sort of knitted yarns and things like that printed, and it's really clever. Even though it's printed in 2D, it looks 3D.
Really clever. Some of the stuff we see going through. Every day walking through the factory, there's something different. It's a real sort of a privilege to get access to that. I think and see what people are doing.
Our customers love seeing what goes on behind the scenes as well, making videos, taking videos of the print processes. I think they get really excited when they actually see their own fabric being printed.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, it's been fantastic talking to you guys. Thank you so much. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can go out and go and design their own pillowcases, tablecloths, hot air balloon envelopes, and everything else.
Not so many hot air balloons.
So the website's primfab.com.
Right.
And if you have any questions, you can email me at support@primfab.com.
Fabulous. Thank you, Lucy.
Do check out the AI app as well. That's primfab.ai or access through the site. It's really cool to see these patterns being generated using this technology. It's completely free.
Just by identifying a text.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your shirt, that looks like a parrot. I mean, how would you describe that, Lucy?
He is a parrot. Oh, no, sorry, it's his shirt.
Yeah, tropical safari print in vibrant colours. Yeah. You type that in, it will come up with...
it will come up with this.
Yeah.
Nice one. I like it.
I was going to say something now, I've forgotten it. Oh, yes, I was thinking, we had guests on the show that gave me a handmade dog collar. I wonder whether you could do leaves and dog collars.
We do print dog collars and leaves and bandanas for dogs.
Yeah, bandanas are a big thing.
Fashion accessories for dogs seems to be very popular.
Mine is not for a fashion. I put essential oils on to calm her because she's a bit anxious.
Right, yeah.
So I put vetiver on, which is a very, very calming oil. I wonder whether you know anything about essential oils. I'll speak to a lady that I know as well.
I have to apologise. If you're trying to tweet us again, which I'm sure you are, Elon and the crew at Twitter have given up completely now, and it's just rate limit exceeded because people tweeted me. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
Which is the whole point of Twitter. But no, there's too many tweets, so no, we can't read them. So sorry about that.
Well, I've got one which is also to you, Paul, but it's to me and you. Kent Community Energy have a community share.
You sound like the Chuckle Brothers.
Who?
You.
Why?
To me, to you.
To me, to you. I never watched the Chuckle Brothers. My kids did, I think. Yeah. Did you actually watch the Chuckle Brothers?
Of course.
This was last century, wasn't it?
They were quite funny.
Last millennium.
Kent Community Energy have a community share offer happening this summer to raise funds to take a fully operational solar farm near Sittingbourne into community ownership and reinvest profits into Kent's sustainability and biodiversity projects. That sounds very interesting. I'm just going to read you their website. So it's kentcommunityenergy.org, and they say that they're engaging with community business and local authorities to accelerate change to a fair and sustainable future that Kent can be proud of. That sounds very interesting. Their Twitter is @Kent_com energy, so COMM energy. And I think they're fairly new followers, Paul Andrews.
Cool. Right. McBride's Chartered Accountants have revealed a new managing partner. Tanya Hamilton as its new managing partner, as Nick Paterno steps down from the role after 13 years at the helm. The change came into effect on the 1st of July and came as the firm celebrated its 50th anniversary. So congratulations to Tanya Hamilton, who's taken over as the a new managing partner at McBride's. They're based in Loxbottom, which is Orpington.
That's a lovely name, isn't it? Loxbottom. Yeah, Loxbottom.
I'm sure you could mangle it in some way.
I'm sure I could.
Lockybottom.
No, I've had a lot of tweets, but not necessarily.
Well, I can't read any tweets because I've been stopped.
It's very odd that. It must be some bot doing it.
Yeah.
I haven't had it for a while.
Yeah.
I've got lots of dog tweets coming in.
Have you?
Yeah. So you won't be interested in those.
Well, read an email then.
There's an interactive session to learn more about why it's important to identify your ideal customer and learn how you can effectively sell your business. So the topics they're using are analysing consumer habits, marketplace trends, identifying opportunities and activating change. And it's this is going to be held on Wednesday the 12th of July. So is that mañana?
Yes.
It is. So mañana, Wednesday 12th of July, 10:30 till 12 midday. It's at Business Terrace in King Street in Maidstone. And details will be on the Kent Business Radio website, as we said. But you can also go to www.eventbrite.co.uk/e/NatWest, reaching new markets. But go on Kent Business Radio, it's easy, and go on under events.
Fantastic. There's a new virtual world coming to Lockmeadow in Maidstone this summer. Lockmeadow Entertainment Centre is about to step into another realm with the announcement of a new virtual reality world opening in August. VR World is currently being fitted out downstairs at Lockmeadow in the old Burger King unit within the complex. Business owner Ed Walter is not new to business in Maidstone and is already a director of TED Alert, the Smarter Energy Group, and My Electrics in Maidstone High Street. After spotting a gap in the market for Kent and virtual reality fun, Ed looked into commercial space, and Lockmeadow fits the business plan perfectly. He says you don't have to pre-book or stick to a time slot. You can come along and play just one game if you want, or continue onto other machines. We've made the offering really flexible, so if a family are having a quick bite to eat before a movie and have a spare 15 minutes, you can enjoy one of our virtual reality experiences. The new unit is hoping to also provide employment for 6 people and launch within the summer holidays, bringing an extra dimension to days out in Maidstone. You can find out about it by going to their website, which is www.vr-world.co.uk.
A few tweets about the phasing out of ticket offices, and people aren't happy. Mm-hmm. And they're showing pictures of, for example, Banbury Station this morning, where the ticket staff do an amazing job, and there's queues of people waiting to talk to ticket office people.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a bit sad. I quite like my dustbin emptied, if anybody's listening as well.
Well, by the ticket office?
Yeah, by anybody.
You take your dustbin up the station.
I don't want the maggots.
Do they want them up the station?
There'll be maggots.
Does the station master want maggots?
Well, I'm going to probably have to put my food caddy, into a bin over the road now, and well, I'll probably get told off for doing that, won't I?
Mm-hmm.
But that gets collected every day on the seafront, so much better than my rubbish collection. Right.
The Business Terrace in Maidstone, run by Maidstone Borough Council, are hosting a celebratory network event to mark the 8th anniversary of the Business Terrace, which launched in 2015. Over the past 8 years, the Terrace has provided a hub of business support in Maidstone Town Centre to empower and enrich more than 1,000 businesses across the borough. The networking event is free and open to all, providing an opportunity to connect with local businesses. The guest speaker is James Gardner, and James is a friend of mine and is well worth a listen to. We'll talk guests through what it takes to keep your business growing in the future. Discover what 3 simple questions can do to really transform your business and your team. It's taking place on Thursday, the 13th of July. That's this Thursday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. If you want to find out more or to book your free place, campusradio.co.uk/calendar.
And the lovely Salvation
Army. Keeping you up, are we?
Oh, honestly, I'm so tired. I don't think I'm sleeping very well. The Salvation Army.
You know why?
It's too hot.
You've got a one-top duvet. You don't want a one-top duvet.
The new husband.
What you want.
He's a limpet.
What you want is a sheet printed with a nice little cool design. So if you get a sheet printed with an iceberg printed on it, it'll keep you cool.
If you get a nice silky one, that would be very good.
Well, I just bought bamboo sheets.
Oh, we used to print on bamboo.
They would be for printing, but they're very, very lovely and soft. Bamboo. Can you believe they shrink a lot? You have to be really careful with them, though.
Yeah, from a...
I'll tell you what annoys me with
bamboo is the pandas that come along and eat it.
Bamboo's made from pandas. Oh, we don't want to tell that.
No, pandas are made from bamboo.
Pandas are made from bamboo.
Pandas eat bamboo.
Bamboos eat bamboo.
It's not the other way around. That'd be awful.
The 2 summer concerts by the Salvation Army, they're both free to attend. There they will have donation buckets, they'll rattle at you, they say. It's the Salvation Army, 74 to 80 Union Street, Maidstone, Music Man Kent, and it's 2 summer concerts. One's the Thursday, the 20th of July, 10:30 to 12 noon. The other is Saturday, the 22nd of July, 2 to 3:15 p.m.
Can you see any more? I can't see any tweets, so I don't know who's tweeting.
I'm looking. I've got a lot for me that are not relevant for this show, and lots about dogs as well. Lots about AstraZeneca and lots about dogs. So I hope we haven't missed anyone, but there's a love affair going on with Tracy Ferguson and Sarah Marsh Collins over Tracy's lovely designs.
Okay.
So I'm sure you will invite her for a tour, won't you? Tracy.
She
lives in Rochester, so not too far.
Oh, that's where I went to uni.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I did photography there as well. Up that hill.
Yeah.
Remember the
walk
up the hill? Yeah.
Huge.
And when were you at Langton's?
Goodness, I think I left in 2017.
How old are you now?
24.
So you went to the boys' school for your final year, did you?
No,
not?
I just stayed
went to the girls' school.
They stayed
on at the girls' school.
Yeah, because often the girls join them and then the boys get very perked up that they're happy. And
right, here's something unusual. Choose a career that makes a real difference. We urgently need foster carers in Maidstone. Are you over 21, have a spare bedroom at your home, are looking for a really rewarding career? If so, you can become a foster carer with us. You'll receive a minimum of £415 per week per child. All training will be provided and we provide 24/7 support. You can learn more about fostering by contacting them by email, fostering@diagrama.org, that's DIAGRAMA, or go to their website, which is diagramafostering.org.uk. Check it out.
And don't forget, when you finish this show and you finish listening, having a little cup of tea, if you can have a thought for Emma and for Tegan, they are on the Twitter, @4Tegan. She's campaigning for NHS prescription, which sounds extremely feasible, and she needs help. So there is a GoFundMe, that's gofund.me/DD9AEF for Freddie 58, and we'll be tweeting that out as well throughout the week.
The link is also on the Campus Radio website on today's show, which what number show is this today? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's 15 years. How would I remember?
Well, I thought you were keeping track.
No.
I shall tell you any minute. All right, it's show number 638. There you go.
I can't believe we've done that many.
No, no.
Long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Oliver, you came to years ago.
Yeah, I think it was number 200.
Oh, you remember the number?
I listened to it last night, actually, before this. I thought, I better recap and...
You listened to it?
Yeah, because we might have remembered what you said and we were tripping him up on it going, you didn't say that last time.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually, because there's the one about 5 years ago and another one about 10-11 years ago.
Right.
And just hearing the change in my voice from being very energetic to slowly getting older.
we know the feeling. We used to be thin, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah, my tweets have started to come back that Elon was listening. And Tracy says, the tour sounds amazing, thank you. She said, what a fabulous interview with Oliver and Lucy. Absolutely, yeah. Right, how are we doing? Oh, we haven't got much longer left to go.
I've blown up because I thought we'd finished. Island Works have now got a new co-working event, meeting room, startup incubator, and a coffee shop.
Hmm.
They've got a community day. It's Saturday, July the 22nd. It's at Dockyard Church, Naval Terrace, Sheerness, M for Mother, E12 1RR, and details kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Right, I need to tell you about this because it's caused a lot of problems, yeah?
Yeah.
Because local councils and the post office are absolutely rubbish at addresses these days. The church is listed as being in Naval Terrace, but you can't actually get to the church from Naval Terrace. You have to go in Garrison Road. But we're not allowed to put Garrison Road because the postcode is the Naval Terrace. But the Naval Terrace doesn't have a road that goes to the church. It's just getting Amazon to deliver there is impossible. There's an Amazon driver standing outside the other day at the end of... I go, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for Island Works at Dockyard Church. And he said, but I can't get to it. Any idea where it is? I said, look up. What? I said, see that building? Yeah. What is it? It's church. Bit of a clue there. Garrison Road, entrance to the docks.
Is there parking there?
Yes.
Lovely.
And we've got an EV charger as well, so even Oliver can... Oh, you still got your BMW? You had a BMW last time I saw you.
Yeah, that's what I drive at the moment, yeah.
I could come over by... I can either come by canoe over to Sheffield.
A canoe.
Or a jet ski, or my new husband's got a catamaran.
Right.
Ooh. Which I call a catamaran.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I know what you
eat. End of the show.
We've reached the end of the show.
We have.
Fantastic. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that participated in the show today, but especially to the wonderful Emma Appleby telling us all about the work that she's doing on behalf of her daughter. Please give her as much support and love as you can. Emma, thank you so much. To our guest Oliver Musto Playfair and Lucy Waters from PrimFab, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we love what you're doing. And I'm going to get something printed for her.
And then I'll get something printed for him back.
Yeah, you don't know what's coming now.
Yeah.
Thank you to my wonderful co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. Thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed, and sent in stuff. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, healthy, and happy. We'll see you all very, very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.